Dadsnet Original Podcast.
Welcome back to the Dadsnet Podcast. On the show today, we're welcoming a fantastic guest as a member of the boy band Lovable Rogues. He was also a finalist on Britain's Got Talent. They get these ones the right way around. Before beginning a radio career at Capital, doing the breakfast show, now doing the late show. But perhaps, I don't know whether you'd agree with this, but your kind of pinnacle moment was winning Dancing on Ice. Is Sunny J. Welcome.
Hello, mate. Thank you very much. I think, yeah, it's I peaked there in my career, and it's just going downhill now.
You'll have to go in the jungle.
I'm going to have to do something, because although saying that, if I do something else and I don't win it, then I'm like, well, you know, shouldn't have done it.
Well, that's the risk, right? That is the risk. I don't know how anyone does that, by the way, just as a slight aside before we really get into the nitty gritty, because your life is about to change quite drastically. Anyway, we'll come back to that. But I don't know how anybody, I don't know how anybody dances. I certainly don't know how actually people dance on ice. I can ice skate and ski, but I don't know how you do that. Like, how intense was that training, or did you have any experience with that before?
So I had no experience of it before. However, my sort of logic was, I don't think I could do Strictly Come Dancing, because I feel like people really take dancing seriously. Like, they are like, well, that's not a jazz hand properly. And with ice skating, I always feel like no matter what you do on the ice, people still go, oh, well, to be fair, he's doing it on the ice. So my theory of it was, well, at least it looks more impressive than maybe what I'm actually doing on the ice. However, you know, I did learn so much on that show, and all I wanted to do was go on it and just like learn how to skate backwards. You know, you get them like people that show off at Christmas and they're like spraying people with ice and they're like skating backwards with like a beer in their hand. That's genuinely all I wanted to
can
achieve.
Can you do that now?
I think I can do it.
So you're one of those arseholes on the Christmas ice skating rink that everyone looks at going, oh, you don't take your own skates though, do you?
Absolutely not. I think taking my own skates would be an ick. However, I have been back since, like twice ice skating, and both times people genuinely look at me like, how have you won that show? It's one of those things that when you stop skating, you just forget. Like, it's, I guess practice everything, you know, practice every day.
Yeah.
I've stopped doing it. So,
well, deliberately doing a terrible pun, I guess it's because you're quite a lovable rogue, right? That's bad.
What? Because I can't skate anymore. Yeah. That's the rogue side of me.
Yeah, but they just loved you. Everyone was kind of thinking, oh, he's a nice guy. He's a nice guy.
Hey, I'm going to be honest. I got really lucky, and I put it down to it was the 13th series of Dancing on Ice, and I don't want to get too much into things, but 13 is my lucky number, right? I've got it like, I don't know why, a football shirts back in the day. Like, I've got a tattoo of it just purely because I love it. It was that, or it was during COVID, which it was, and loads of people just got COVID and I was the only one left. I think that it was one of them. I mean, you tell me.
No comment. okay, so let's get into it. You are expecting your first child with your girlfriend due at the end of May, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And amazing. You can see on my face, I'm a bit like, yeah.
terrified, right? The thing is, I can see on your face, like, you're still energetic, you still kind of, you know, you look good, like, you don't look sleep deprived, so I can tell, like, you haven't had the baby yet. But
yeah,
how are you feeling? How's it going?
Do you know what? I feel like it's easy for a guy to be like, oh, this is happening, and you've got a sort of deadline of, you know, when it's going to be. Obviously, I think it's a lot different for, you know, mums where, you know, their life instantly changes and suddenly they're, you know, they have to instantly change their life. Where I feel like for us, it's a little bit easier in a way of, we've got this time that it's going to happen, but in between them, our life doesn't stop, you know, and it doesn't completely change. Yeah. I am so excited. I think I've gone through the motions of it, of like when I first found out, I was like, this is so cool. And then you sort of go through the emotions of, but what if I can't, what if I'm, you know, I don't have a job, or what if I'm not going to be a good dad, or what if, you know, all these thoughts that go through your head. And then you get to a point where you're just like, I'm genuinely now, and I know you're looking at me like he's so excited. And, you know, if I ever speak to him again, this flame will be dimmed.
Yeah, we'll redo this. However, in 6 months.
I know. This is what everyone keeps saying, but I genuinely am. I've got to a point where I'm so excited. And, you know, loads of my mates have been pregnant before, and it's like one of those things where I go, oh, I remember saying to them, oh, are you excited? You know, and all of them have said to me, just want the baby out now, because it's such a long process. And it's such like a, you go through motions of, you know, looking forward to it and then being like, oh, you know, well, it's a long way away. And, you know, we're in the middle of moving house at the moment as well. So, I mean, we've not really had time to think about that. And we're trying to move in before the baby comes. And it's just, do you know what? We this year we thought, let's do two of the biggest things you could do in one year. Let's move house and let's have a baby. And we just thought, yeah, why not?
Get it all done and out of the way. Why not? It's it is exciting. Like there is, I think like it's great to be excited, and I would just encourage you just to hold on to that excitement. And actually, even when it's hard, we know it's going to be hard, but you don't know it's going to be hard. But when it's hard, still hold on to that excitement, because it's, there's nothing quite like it. And I'm saying that having not stood on stage, you know, with a arena of audience, like, but that's a bit of a rush, but there's nothing like having kids. Like it just is a whirlwind. So tell me how you are finding the preparation, like the practical elements of preparing the nursery, what you need. Like, do you feel ready?
I would be lying if I said I feel ready. I don't feel like anyone would be completely ready. However, like I said, we're moving house. So we were like, we're not going to buy anything until we move into this house, because all we're going to end up doing is moving all the stuff over, which is a terrible idea, because then it means that we've got less time to buy all the stuff we need. We're going to cram it all in at one time. However, not going to worry about that. I mean, in terms of preparation, we've got nothing. So yeah, that's a good start. However, we started our first NCT class on just the weekend just gone. Wow. what an interesting bunch of people to be in a room with. I mean, very useful in terms of there's little nuggets that you can learn from them. However, I don't know about anyone else. I've known people to be going for beers with some of the guys in the past, and, you know, been like, oh, you know, we're going for walks with some of the couples. I know I'm like a sociable person and I like doing radio and talking to people. I could not think of anything worse, genuinely. I know it sounds horrible and I hope they don't listen to this podcast, but spending time with any of those people. Oh, I don't know what it is. I just didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, to be honest, in my experience, and I'm 9 years out of it now, my youngest is nine, but it is hit and miss. Like, so JK, who co-hosts this podcast, but never actually is ever on it. Do you know JK? You work in the same building, don't you?
Yeah, I know JK. Yeah, nice guy.
If you
guy.
See him today,
lovely,
give him a kick in the shin or something, because he's never here.
Okay.
Anyway,
yeah.
His NCT group, like, he's really active. Like, they meet up every 2 or 3 months. They go for, the men go for beers and curries and the you know, then they do the couple thing and whatever else. So for him, it worked. For me, I could tell you the name of one of the people from our NCT group. So it is just a bit hit and miss. I guess, like, the only thing I would say about it is, and by the way, I've got no wisdom on this whatsoever. I only have my experience, which I can share, and it might be totally useless. But the only thing I can say is they, just hearing about someone else's experience, good or bad, is quite useful, because at least it kind of gives you a bit of context. It gives you a bit of a ballpark to then, like, pitch yourself in.
I mean, I've got 3 more sessions, so it's kind of like it or lump it for me. I'm going to have to do it. And if I'm honest, I feel like I was doing it purely because my girlfriend Danielle was like, oh, I think we should do this. And I was like, yeah. Oh, for goodness sake. Yeah, cool. Yeah, we'll do that. I mean, I've been given books and stuff, and I've not read a lot of books. I feel like I should start reading. However, there's certain things that I'm like, I've got a really good idea. I've got a really good idea that I think will really help us when we, like, first have this baby. I was thinking, because I've just got a slow cooker, right? I'm so into it. I was like, I think we should batch cook, because if we batch cook, when we've got the baby and we can't be bothered to cook, we've got some stuff that's like almost meal preppy in the freezer. What a great idea. And then I opened this book that someone gave me over Christmas, and one of the first pages was batch cook. And I was like, for goodness sake, I thought I was a genius. I thought I've had this bad life and I've not even got a baby.
Well,
yet.
You are. I mean, you came up with it prior to knowing. So I think that that's positive. Like that's good. What's the word? That's demonstrating that I think you're probably going to be okay. You're thinking on your feet there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that I've found so far, because obviously the baby's not here yet and everyone's like, oh, you know, there's certain things people say to you. One, bank your sleep. Like, literally, just bank your sleep because, look, I'm assuming it's going to be tough. What I imagine it to be, I know it's going to be worse. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's in terms of, like, just getting up every hour, all that sort of stuff. I'm sort of half ready for it. I feel like I've done a little bit of a boot camp when I did the breakfast show on Capital. You know, every morning I was up at 4 a.m., you know, I was sleep deprived. I was this, that, whatever. However bad that felt, I know it's going to feel worse than that. But at least I've got some form of sort of point and line where I know that it's going to be that bad. Yeah. It's, or if not worse, but it would certainly be that bad because of the lack of sleep and the jet lag life. And the, you know, I feel like I'm half ready for that part. So the sleep part doesn't worry me. It's more just the fact that like, I've got this, you know, I've just got this thing now. Like this just, you just leave the hospital with a baby and you're like, okay, I've got to look after this thing now. I find that more crazy than anything else.
It's really weird as well because suddenly you feel like this, you know how like you have a test, learn to drive, like someone has to kind of give you permission to do that. Someone has to give you you know, a passport to go fly and like to get a job, you've got to have an interview and you've got to kind of, do you know what I mean? This, like you say, they'll give you that baby and then they'll be like, see ya, good luck.
Yeah.
and it's,
that's,
go on.
No, I was going to say, that's what kind of terrifies me. But then I also think like, I've seen Jeremy Kyle before and I look at some of them people and think if they can do it, then I can't be that bad. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty low bar, but you're right. You are right.
At least there is a bar. There's a bar.
Are they at the end of the day, are they breathing? Yes. Great. You've done a great job. Like, yes, there is a certain, there is that. No, I also feel like, the problem that I felt when you have that newborn is, you know, like you were saying about getting up for the breakfast show, right? At least you're getting paid for that. So you are sleep deprived and at least you get the weekend off or whatever, however many shifts you would do.
This is
relentless. And for the first few weeks, you get nothing back, like nothing. It's just they take, they absorb you, they suck you dry. Like there's just no give anywhere. And you're thinking, when is this bloody thing going to smile at me at least? Like it's really like, there's just nothing back.
Yeah, it does. Someone in this NCT class we did said that the moment you have that baby, you have no life. But every day that goes by, you start to get a bit more of it back, which is actually feels quite similar to what you're saying. You know, the first, 2-3 weeks, you get nothing. Yeah. But actually, slowly they start smiling or slowly they start, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And there's certain moments in your life where they need you less and less and less. And I guess... pretty smart. Yeah.
And also they,
give, they can at least smile.
Yeah. And they give more as well. You know, my son's 9, as I say, we've got season tickets at Arsenal and like now he's just my mate. So we'll go there. We have the banter, like we'll shout the football chants. So I've made a mate and now I get quite a lot out of it. So I feel like I put in the hard graft and then you get something out of it.
Yeah, that's really nice, actually. And this conversation I've had, because we're having a girl, right? And I thought, well, if we're having a boy, like I'm a West Ham fan. So, I've already got my nephew. I've already got my nephew who's like 2 now, a season ticket, you know, just waiting for him for when he comes. Yeah. And I was like, do I get a girl a season ticket?
Yeah, put her on the wait list.
Absolutely. Got to put him on the wait list. But my girlfriend's dad is a Spurs fan. Right. And obviously, I don't know if anyone that doesn't know a lot about football, but Spurs and West Ham, you know, even Arsenal in a way with Spurs as well, they don't get on. They're just not like teams that get on very well. There's a lot of rivalry and all that sort of stuff. I cannot let this girl be a Spurs fan.
You've got to get in really early.
That's it. I mean, West Ham have thankfully sent me stuff. So it's like, oh yeah, like, you know, here's a baby grow with West Ham on it. You know, Spurs haven't done that. So they can do one.
Also, when you get your new place, I'm thinking maybe before, is it Danielle, your girlfriend? before Danielle sees, like, go in and put a massive West Ham crest on the wall in the nursery.
Yeah.
In fact, if you do that, I'd like to see it. So put it on social media and I'd like some credit.
Or at least a couple of bubbles maybe going up the wall or something.
There's the advantage of being West Ham. You can put a bubble machine in the corner of the room and still have that kind of forever blowing bubbles vibe.
Absolutely. Yeah, because it's not tacky at all when we put the bubbles out every game, is it? It's not at all.
It's your thing. It's fine.
We haven't got a lot. Let us have the bubbles.
Tell me how are you finding supporting Danielle? Because obviously, like, you're both going through it mentally, and there's a real amazing piece of research that says when the baby arrives, and during this kind of last few weeks, months of the pregnancy, you actually have a physiological change. So your hormone levels basically change. So your testosterone drops and your kind of, it's estrogen kind of rises. And that's why men start crying at films after they've had kids, whereas before they don't. It's a real amazing piece of research. So there is a physiological change in you as well going through now, but let's not beat around the bush. Like, the physical changes are really happening to Danielle, and hormones and physical and like feeling like drained and tired already. How are you finding supporting her? Because you have to support her and you want to support her, but also no one asked the dad to be like, yeah, but that's quite tough in itself, like supporting your partner going through that.
I think it's tough, I think any guy in this situation, in my situation, and I know that there's been plenty of people, you just have to get on with it, because there is no sympathy for the man in this situation whatsoever. You know, I mean, very early on, I made the mistake of waking up and being like, oh, I'm so tired. You know, I'm not allowed to be tired anymore. I am not allowed to be tired anymore. And that is it. So I don't even say that sort of stuff in front of Danielle anymore, because I just think it's just not worth it.
That's just a good move.
Like, you know, the moment they turn around and go, well, I'm actually growing a human. I've grown a pair of lungs today. What have you done? And you're like, put the bin out. You know, I don't know.
I won on FIFA.
I don't know what. Scored a hat trick, actually. I don't know. I quite enjoy the thing that I think I find with myself is like, I do love a challenge. Like, I'm one of those people that if I commit to doing something, like, I'm in. Obviously, this is the biggest commitment you can ever have, having a baby, you know. But I do find, you know, stuff like that. Like, Danielle's got to a point now where she's almost quite heavily pregnant, and she can start to do like less and less, you know, where before we'd go out, we'd take the dogs out together. It's become me just going, no, you stay at home, you need to rest. Like, I'll go take the dogs out. I find myself doing a lot more around the house, which I quite like doing anyway. Mm. Like, I'm that sort of person. But I do like the challenge of, like, one of my mates at work said to me, who's just had a baby, he was like, you know, your job becomes, in the first couple of weeks, you know, once the baby's here, it becomes just making sure the house runs, you know, because obviously Danielle will be with the baby and making sure that the baby's fine. Obviously I'll be there to make sure the baby's fine too, and, you know, do my bit, but also it's everything else around how, you know, the house runs and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I feel like that's what I've taken on a bit. And this is another thing. I've got two dogs, and I don't know what the etiquette is, you know, when introducing dogs to a baby. And, you know, I'd take them out every night and, you know, do all that sort of stuff. And now I'm like, I'm going to have to leave the baby at home and take the dogs out. Or do I worry about the dogs? Do I give the dogs to my mum for a little while? What happens?
Yeah.
You tell me.
Oh God. Well, be prepared, because the pecking order of the house in terms of priorities now will change. So you'll have like baby number one, then it'll be Danielle, then it'll be the dogs, and then it will be you.
Mm. Yeah.
So you need to kind of be aware of that. But at the same time, having dogs is also the perfect, and I'm using the word excuse, but kind of in inverted commas, it's the perfect excuse to escape, because they have to be walked, they have to go out. And I would lean into that if I were you. Be like, oh, the dogs need three walks a day for an hour each. You know?
Yeah, this lean is great. Into it. Yeah, go on, carry on. I think it's a great idea. I mean, in the past, I've took the dogs out and I've like had like a secret pint at the pub and all that sort of stuff. So maybe I'll just go out on longer walks, you know, and maybe do that as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, in all honesty, finding time for you to escape. And, you know, you just said that you said it earlier. Let me get this right. You said about like the sympathy. The sympathy is all with mum. But on a Dad's Net podcast, we also have to be able to give the expectant and the new dad sympathy as well. And you have to find times to protect your own sanity, your own mental health. And there's things like, there's things that I don't think it's discussed enough. And I'm not going to go into campaign mode, don't panic. But there's things that aren't discussed. Like, whilst you're doing all of those practical things, keeping the house running, and Danielle is feeding and cuddling and breastfeeding and whatever you're doing, she's bonding with the baby and you're not in those moments. Mm-hmm. And that first month, 2-3 months or whatever, is so relentless in terms of you're still working, you're still doing all the house, you're still out walking the dogs, you're still trying to support Danielle as much as you possibly can. And all of the while, you're looking at this baby bonding with mum and you're thinking, why haven't I got that bond? And actually, the mental health element of that is really significant. So you have to kind of take time for yourself and go to the football, go to the pub, just not all the time, and don't be late home, but you have to be able to protect your own mental health through this.
Yeah. I mean, don't be late home. I mean, it's easier said than done, let's be honest.
Bad enough without babies.
I know. But I do agree though, mate. I think this is what's so cool about, Dad's Net and stuff, is that you can't really chat and, say how you feel unless you're chatting to someone that's rather going through it or done it and that is what is so good about this. Mm. So I do almost, this is like therapy for
get
me.
Get it all off your
way.
Chest,
I
mean, now's the time.
Absolutely. And actually, the baby's not even here yet, so you might have to get me back on another time and then I'll have a proper rant.
Definitely. That's exactly what we're here for. You jest about that, but that's kind of where Dad's Net started, just providing a space where dads can come in to the digital, is on Facebook, into that community, and actually they can come in and they can say, oh my God, I was 3 minutes late back from Tesco's to get her craving and she busted my balls over it. This is the space where you can say that. You can't say it at home. You can't say it let alone a mother-in-law ever hearing you say something like that. But this is the space to be able to say those kinds of things.
No, it is. And do you know what? I might start banking them. I might start writing them down, because I know at some point they will be really funny. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like those sort of moments where you do realize you had a go at me for egg mayo.
That's yes. Yeah. They'll look at you and go, yeah, but you really deserved it. I really did it. what is it you're most excited for? Like, what's the kind of the... It's really hard to imagine. It's those kinds of things where it's really hard to picture what it will be like. But as much as you can, what are you most excited about?
I think it's a good question. I mean, the thing that I am most excited for, and it sounds like proper soppy, but everything I've ever imagined myself to be, like, do you know when you're younger and you sort of imagine how you're going to be when you're older? It always involves being a family man and going my ideal setting is, go home from work, get home to my family, get home to my dogs. All of that for me is everything that I imagined it to meet myself to be when I'm, older, kind of thing. And now I'm sort of, this is the first step towards that. And I think I've had like a switch of, not necessarily a switch of like, oh, I've stopped, trying to reach where I want to in my career, because that never stops. However, there is a moment where you sort of go, this family thing is what I want now. And this is, I would rather excel at family, and I know that's probably a terrible way of doing it. And there's you can excel at both, but there's part of my brain that's just like, I really want to put everything I can into this, this family that I want to create. And I think that's what I'm most looking forward to. The moment I'm in a house, I've got my dogs there, I've got my girlfriend there, and I've got my baby there. Like, coming home to that for me is a moment that I imagine would feel like I'm whole and, exactly what I imagined from when I was younger. And I don't know, that's what I'm looking forward to, that moment. And then also just seeing my baby grow up, be such a small little baby and becoming eventually at some point, a girl, a woman. Yeah. And that terrifies me, because obviously I'm a man and I know what guys can be like around women. And I don't know. I think that for me is like, oh, wow. Like, I mean, I'm so excited for that, you know?
I think that's exactly right. Like, the only way I can describe that is that when you, before you have kids and you're working on your career, it's like a fulfilled, like you get that fulfillment, but it's in your head. You're fulfilled mentally. Whereas as when you have a kids and when you have your family, that's a fulfillment in your heart. I know this sounds a bit cliche, I suppose.
No, imagining you were getting.
Yeah, that's the only way I can differentiate that. And like in my head, like same for us, like we're running a business, you know, we want DadsNet to be bigger, better, offer more support, to work with different brands, et cetera, et cetera. I want to do that, but not really here. Like I just want to do that here because I know, you know, there's like, you know, we have to work, we've got to put a roof over our family's heads and we've got to do all of that. But really when it boils down to it, the fulfillment of how is kind of your, in your soul, I suppose, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you're so right. The head and the heart thing is a perfect example of that. And I'm looking forward to that feeling of being whole. Mm. And I'm, you know, again, we might have a catch up at some point and I might be like, what on earth was I talking about getting a whole feeling in my heart, you know? I might be like,
fucking hell.
This is the worst. I've had no sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
I am looking forward to that feeling. Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, I like that. I like that answer a lot. We had Bear Grylls on the podcast. His episode's not out yet at the time of recording this, at least.
Yep.
And, but in his interview, like I've spoken to quite a lot of people and, you know, people sort of describe him as this kind of adventurer, like action man, hero type vibe. In the very first sentence, he turns around to me and he says, if you want to know whether someone's a real hero, ask their kids and ask their wife. And like, I was floored. I was like, how the hell do we need to do half an hour now? Because that's it. You've just done it. You've done half an hour in 30 seconds. It was bad.
That is so nice.
Yes.
Who'd have thought, eh? Bear Grylls coming out with stuff like that.
Hero.
he's got one of my favourite videos. I don't know if you've seen it. It goes viral like nearly every year of where he gets a bee sting and he says the best thing to do is rub honey on it. And then it clearly isn't. It's the worst thing to do because it just made his face just inflated. Yeah. And throughout the whole of the programme, it was just getting bigger and bigger. That's a hero. Yeah. That is a hero.
I should have raised that with him.
Yeah, you should have. Yeah, what are you on about? You don't know about heroes. Yeah. Your face swelled.
Yeah, real hero is this guy. So that's what you're most excited about. I love that answer. What's the one thing you're most nervous about?
I think most nervous about, I think everyone obviously jokes about it, but the whole sleep thing and, you know, it affecting my relationship with Danielle. I think, you know, there's been loads of people talking about on TV and stuff, this whole fairy arguments in the middle of the night. If you're arguing in the middle of the night, it's called a fairy argument. And between the hours of whatever and whatever, you know, you forget about it, you never mention it again, because that's obviously your time of, you know, you're just arguing over the sake of arguing because you're both tired.
Yeah, unless you play it smart and you bring up a couple of bits and pieces in those moments.
This is what I'm saying. This is writing it all down. Pen to paper. Yeah. Well, actually, you know, I just want to be a good dad. Like, I just want to be able to, one, provide, two, just be there. I feel like growing up, my dad had it the wrong way round, where he was so busy working and stuff like that. I feel like I sort of missed out on parts of growing up with my dad. Like, he provided for us and that was his way of being a dad. And, you know, it was quite an old school way of being a dad. But I feel like nowadays, I feel like you need, you know, your parents there in any moment. Like, I could always talk to my mum about stuff, and because she's always been there and been emotionally there for me, where actually my dad, I couldn't, you know, have an emotional conversation with him, because actually that's his way of providing for me as a child and, you know, as a son, was to just go out and work, you know, albeit 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And I feel like now, like, I look at that and go, well, I don't want that. I want to be able to bond with my children. I want to be able to, you know, when my girl comes to me one day and says, you know, I need your advice, like, I want that. So I want to try and build the best sort of, you know, connection that I can with this little human, you know, because I think it's so important.
It's terrifying. If even now, you know, when I'm, you know, with a 9, I've got 11-year-old as well. And even now it makes me nervous and I'm scared of whether I'm being a good dad. So that will never go. It's the perfect thing to be nervous about, but it won't go. It will change slightly, but it won't ever go. And I think the only thing that they need is just your time, your presence. They just need you to be there with them. Like sometimes my best day in the last 6 months was a Saturday afternoon. And I sat on the sofa for 5 hours with my youngest, Ted. And we watched, he was on a bit of iPad, and we watched, what's that, Four in a Bed program with the B&B owners, you know that one.
Oh, yeah.
Just watched that. Four in a Bed. Like 5 episodes on the trot. And we didn't move except to maybe make a cup of tea. And it was just, that was just one of my favorite memories. We did absolutely nothing, but it was just this amazing afternoon together. It was great.
I love that. That your favorite afternoon was the omnibus of Four in a Bed.
Exactly.
No, I agree. I think the best thing in life you can give anyone is time, you know, and I'm lucky enough that I get time, and I feel like, you know, with what I do for work, you know, especially I work in the evenings now, and actually I was going to ask you, what do you think? Like, cause obviously I've done the breakfast show, and I've been getting up at 4 a.m. and done all that sort of stuff. But now I'm getting home at like 1:30 in the morning. Will that help? Does that help me at any point?
What time do you start?
So I get in for like 9 o'clock, 9 p.m.
So what I would say, I don't think that's fine. It depends. Like, are you, like for me, I go to bed about midnight anyway. So for me, like, and the kids are in bed from 8:30, sometimes 9, but anyway. So like there's 3 or 4 hours when they're in bed then anyway. So that, I think that's a win. But what I would, what I would always encourage anyone who can possibly do this is I would own bath time. Like if you're going to put them down at 7:30, make bath time yours. Tell your missus to do one, go and watch telly. Go and have a sleep, go to your mum's, go to the shop, like just go, go away. This hour is my hour. I'm going to bath her. I'm going to dry her. I'm going to change her. I'm going to get her ready for bed. If you've got a bottle, either express milk or whatever, you feed her that last one before bed. And the fact that you can still do that before you then go to work, I think is a real win, because that's your bonding time, and mum gets it all the time, all the other times, you know, of the day. But I did this for the first 4 years of Ted's life. Again, my youngest, I bathed him every night. There wasn't one I missed except one I was on a work trip, but I bathed him every single night. It was mine, and that was special for us. So I would say that you're at the moment, and I know radio is a bit volatile. Sometimes they'll be like, oh, we're going to shove you on the midday one. And you're like, oh, right. So I know it can be a bit, you just kind of roll with it. But at the moment, I would say that's a real win. You can get that period of time still, and then you can go and do your work, come back, have a little, you know, sleep in. Danielle can do the early shift. And then you can get up 8, 9 o'clock and have the day.
Yeah, I like that. I'm get to say again, I'm going to have to write this down because I feel like stuff like that is stuff that I need to hear. You know, like I honestly, other than when people go, oh yeah, you need to get a pram, you need to get this, you need to get that. No one actually tells you these things that actually will, you know, benefit you in the long run with the child, not these materialistic things, you know.
Well, I'll tell you the best thing about all that crap. Whatever people tell you, whatever list you can get off the internet, half it. You don't need anything. You probably need, I'd say, 10 plain white baby grows.
Nice.
Maybe a couple of bottles, depending on what your kind of feeding preferences are. A pushchair and a car seat.
Okay.
The rest, like, is totally immaterial. Like, even like baby monitors, depends how big your house is. Like, if it's a massive mansion and you got them in the West Wing, maybe a baby monitor. But if it's like, you know, central London living and they're 3 meters away from you, you don't need a baby monitor. Like, you're fine. No. Just use your ears.
It's mad, isn't it? Like, people literally be like, oh, you need this, 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 this. And like, oh, wow. It's actually quite overwhelming. And obviously, like, earlier when I was saying to you, probably about half an hour ago, I was saying, you know, this, we haven't got anything yet and all this sort of stuff. And you get it in your head that you need, you know, all this stuff, which I you know, some of my friends, literally one of my friends texted me earlier in the night, we've got a group WhatsApp, and they were like, oh, you need a Moses basket, you need, you know, a pram rocker, and you need this. She was literally just like, these three things, you know, obviously then the obvious, the car seat and the prams and the baby grows, you know, but they were like the only three things that I would spend money on, you know.
Yeah.
So,
I'm going to have to just leave it there, but I feel like maybe we should just go for a beer whilst you still can go for a beer we can just keep chatting about it, because it feels like it's never ending, really, like what it's going to be like, how it's going to be, the practical stuff, the mental stuff, like it's never ending. So maybe at some point we'll sort something out, but thank you for sharing, it's great to have you on the show.
Oh, mate, thank you so much. And again, obviously, this is such a nice place to be able to talk about this. And I know that there's obviously a lot of people that are very grateful that Dadsnet exists. So, yeah, thank you so much. You
pop into the community. I don't know if you're on Facebook, but get into the community. And
I'm going to do
just... You can just see, you'll see and hear, like, everything. Like, oh, God, that guy's got it worse than me. Makes me feel a bit...
Yeah. I'm going to do that literally now.
Dadsnet Original Podcast.